From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
All right, we are back with another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I am joined by a likely very itchy Sarah Sinclair. We'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to, Sarah, we're on like back-to-back great tournaments, right? We go from the Green Mountain Championship to the MVP Open. We're going to talk about both today. Haley King is going to stop by the show for a chat. And let's talk about why you're itchy, Sarah.
Let's open the show with that.
The scourge of many a disc golfer.
Yeah, I just can't catch a break. I thought 2020 was going pretty well for me, like starting a new nutrition business and a few other personal achievements. And then some really honestly crappy things have happened to me in the past few weeks. And one of which is that I'm not sure if this is a thing, but I feel like HGTV should make a show about extreme gardening, like extreme home makeover, something like that.
Okay.
But the short story is we've got this former garden bed in the back of our house. We bought our house about a year ago, and it was a fixer-upper. We bought it for the property because we've got a little disc golf course on it, and there's just things that we haven't been able to get to, and one of which is this big garden bed that we'd eventually like to turn into a vegetable garden area. And it just got so overgrown. There were vines growing like halfway up a tree, completely taking it over. And then there are a few other garden beds around the back of the house. And I made it my job to get it all cleaned up this weekend. And I've spent a lot of time in the woods over the past two decades, and I'm pretty confident that I know what poison ivy looks like. So I was rooting around in there. I didn't see any. And so, you know, it's 90 degrees here and I'm wearing like my shorty shorts and my tank top. I've got gloves on and sunscreen and bug spray, of course. And I'm like getting in there and I wish I'd taken before pictures because it's just drastically different. And I get it all cleaned up over the course of 3 days. And then come Monday, I am starting to get the itchies. And then Tuesday, it's like full-blown poison ivy. And I'm not sure if you've gotten it this bad before, but it's like there's different formations, kind of. There's like the lines, and then there's the big splotches, and then there's the random dots. And I've basically got it everywhere from my neck to the top of my feet.
Oh, no. Man, here I was getting ready to tell you to just keep it in the fairway, and this isn't even a disc golf related thing.
Well, so we have been playing a few different courses over the past week, and it definitely could have been that too, just a combination of the two, but it doesn't help that it's like, you know, 90 degrees out and we're super sweaty. And so I've gotten poison ivy every summer for like the past 15 years, just a little bit here and there, something manageable. But this time I was like, I need to go to the doctor. So I went this morning, they fit me in, and I had to get a lovely steroid shot in the butt.
Oh man.
And 3 weeks worth of oral steroids.
Oh my goodness.
So it's going to be a joy to be around me. Apparently the side effects are moodiness, difficulty sleeping, and increased hunger. So I've already pre-apologized to Sean.
All of those things lead to moodiness too. So it's
for sure.
Oh man. Well, I am sorry. That does stink, and I hope you're able to find some relief. That's a bummer.
Thanks.
Well, hey, before we get into the meat of the show, I want to remind people this is your last week to apply for the IDGC assistant position that is open at the International Disc Golf Center, home of the PDGA. You can go there and help maintain those three tremendous courses. Go over to pdga.com, check out the announcements section. All the information is there. And applications are being accepted until the 13th, which I believe is Sunday, if I'm doing my math right. So you got a couple more days. Sarah, let's get right into it. Let's talk Green Mountain Championship. I love watching this tournament. The venue is so beautiful and brings me the feel-goods from, you know, Worlds a couple years ago. And we had some feel-goods this year. You had Kevin Jones taking down his second career Disc Golf Pro Tour win. In fine fashion, really, like, pretty dominant performance from Mr. Yeah. Kevin Jones. A four-shot win over the likes of Paul Macbeth, Ricky Wysocki, James Conrad, and Eagle McMahon. All four of those names were behind Kevin Jones. Really, really exceptional performance on the FPO side. We had a great battle between Haley King and Paige Pierce. Paige Pierce ended up ousting the young gun, but my goodness, it was close.
Yes, it was.
So let's start with the FPO observations, Sarah. Let's talk a little bit about the Haley King, Paige Pierce, battle, and is this a glimpse of the future of the FPO division? Do you think?
You know what? I hope so. This we talked about last episode that this tournament specifically really kind of highlights the all-around great players. You yes. have to be really good with the technical wood shots, and you've got to also be really good at the open shots where wind comes into play and there's lots of out of bounds, and there's more of like, you know, mental stuff that happens, I feel like, out in the open. And they're just two extremely different courses. And what I think really helped Haley this weekend was she's just so comfortable. It seems like to me, she's equally comfortable with forehand and backhand.
Yes.
And especially on Brewster Ridge, there are lots of holes out there that require a forehand. And many people are kind of forcing a backhand turnover if they're right-handed or trying to force that forehand that they're not necessarily comfortable with. And, you know, maybe getting out of position when Haley was able to execute those shots. And a lot of these tees are set up great on this course for the women. There's a lot of reachable holes if you get off the tee pad clean. And she was just able to do that. And then just mentally, and I wasn't able to be on the interview with her, unfortunately, to hear her talk about this, but what we've seen from her recently when we've watched her on lead cards and second cards is that off the tee, she's great. And then around the basket is where she kind of has some hiccups, and we've seen some trouble there. So the biggest change for her, I feel, this past weekend compared to tournaments in recent past is her putting. She seemed extremely confident from circle one and circle two.
Yep.
In the open and in the woods. And I don't know what, maybe you can, well, the listeners will hear the interview and kind of hear where her mental game was on that
point. We didn't really get too much into like the mentality of putting or anything like that. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's clear that that's, you know, a strength, I think, in her game, especially this weekend. And it just looks like effortless. I know it's not.
It does,
but
yeah.
She definitely has one of the smoother, putting strokes on the FPO side. I think, I think that plays into it. There's not a lot of moving parts, which I think
is
key.
Yeah. So just looking at her putting stats, she was first in circle two putts and a lot of that also comes from her aggressive nature. Just like Paige Pierce, if she feels confident around the putting green, if it is outside circle one, she's going for it. And we saw that the first round that they played Fox Run, hole 17 is this downhill hyzer hole, and most of the women can reach it, get it in the circle pretty easily, but it's a elevated basket.
And the green kind of runs away a little bit, right?
Yeah, the green runs away, and there's OB all around. And she made this ridiculous putt when she didn't really... It was round two, so it's not like she was making the putt for the win or anything like that. And I'm looking, it was 67 feet.
Yeah.
That's on that hole, that is like true aggression. Or true confidence in your putting. If you have not watched the GK Pro coverage of this, you should definitely, especially tune into round two where they play Fox Run, but all four rounds, GK Pro does a wonderful job capturing the women, I think.
You know, I kind of hate to do this because we live in a society where women are often being compared to men, so I will caveat that with this, and I apologize. But I feel like for people who do follow disc golf and maybe want like an analog, I feel like her game compares very well to Eagles, in that she can hit those long. She's very comfortable outside the circle. She has that proficiency in the forehand and backhand and distance to go with it. It's
very true.
And stylistically, she feels very similar to that. Like, you know, Paige Pierce can throw forehands, but she doesn't a lot. And she'll run putts all day, but it's more of that jumping, you know, jump putt type of style as opposed to a little more standstill from a distance. So I don't know. I look at Haley King, and maybe it's the age and maybe it's build. They're both very lean and lanky. I look at Haley King and I see a little bit of Eagle McMahon.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I like that comparison.
What else were you seeing on the FPO side? Obviously, we know, you know, I feel bad because, you know, Haley came in second, and we're talking about her more than the winner, Paige Pierce. But that's one of those things that kind of happens, I think, when you have a big breakout showing. But what did you see out of Paige this weekend that stood out to you?
I feel like the thing that held her back, and obviously she won, so it not necessarily right. held her back, but what held her back from dominating like we've seen this season so far.
It was Haley King. Was Haley King the one holding her back from dominating?
Yes, exactly. No, it was her circle. It was her circle 1x putting. She was actually eighth, made 75% of her putts within the circle. And I feel like, I mean, she was actually doing the commentating for the GK Pro coverage, and you could just tell some of the frustration. She was just like, yeah, I should have had that putt. And so it was kind of opening the door for Haley. And I mean, what made this? What
it's
made
interesting.
This so...
Her sorry to interrupt. Her That's season fine. Long. Her season long circle 1x is only 78%, and she was 75 this weekend. So I'd be curious to go back and like kind of pick it apart a little more closely and see, you know, what it had been recently, if it was kind of a downward trend. But I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to end with, just with their battle, is that what made this exciting was all of the strokes being passed back and forth. There were big swings. Just the last
time.
Round. Yeah, the last round in general, like hole 5, Haley took a 4, Paige took a 2. There was another hole where they flip-flopped. There was the hole after that, Haley took a 5, Paige took a 3. And then the big swing, they kind of tied it up, and they were tied going into hole 16, and then there's a 2-stroke swing on 16, which is a very, it's a technical tee shot out of a very tight wooded tunnel. It's a lot of tees. And then you get out to the open where it's surrounded by out of bounds and the basket's slightly elevated and just kind of exposed out there in the open. And Haley ended up taking a 6 and Paige taking a 4, and then they tied birdie-birdie on the last two holes. So Haley definitely made a run for it. I mean, I was just really proud of her just not giving up. I mean, she took that 6 and then she parked hole 17 and then she went big after she saw Paige go big on hole 18 and put
it past
that big tree.
Both days there, yeah.
Oh my God, it was amazing. I mean, I've played that course and like I can't even imagine going past that big tree in the middle to get down that far, and they both did that. So that was really exciting, and yeah, I can't wait to see what else she's going to do in the near future.
All right, prediction time, Sarah. I'm hitting you with this one. This isn't on our rundown, but I just thought of this. So, you know, we've talked a lot this season. We've mentioned Heather Young as being one of these up-and-comers who we expect to maybe win a big tournament soon. Yeah. So who do you think gets the big signature win first, Haley King or Heather Young?
Man, that's so hard. They're such different players. I would say that Heather has more, I don't want to say maturity, but maybe poise on the course. Like she's able to kind of move on from bad shots. But although we did see a lot of poise out of Haley this weekend, is just like kind of putting the bad shots behind her as well as the good shots and just moving on. So maybe we're seeing kind of a different Haley King as far as mental game goes moving on. But yeah, it's just interesting because Heather's also pretty comfortable with forehand and backhand. I think Haley does have a bit more distance. Their putting is pretty even. What are their current ratings? Are they pretty close?
That's a great question.
Haley's
at 948 and Heather really is at 943.
Oh man.
5 points.
Man, Okay, if I was going to take one...
I mean, put them both on the same course together against each other. Who do you think is going to win?
It honestly depends on...
Oh, just pick one.
The distance. If it's a short wooded, if it's like a shorter wooded course, then I would pick Heather. But if it's a longer open course, then I would pick Haley.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
No, you always do this, Sarah. Just commit. Look, I think it'd be Haley. I think Haley has more of the tools. I know we've seen, I think we've seen Heather be very impressive so far, you know, especially at Ledgestone and in some of these other places where she's really just put the disc in the basket from deep, right?
But Heather's had better finishes this whole season.
She totally has. But I think Haley King has a stronger skill set right now. Okay. That's just my take. It wouldn't surprise me if Heather Young won a big tournament first. But I just feel like Haley King has a little bit more of. I see a little more killer in Haley King, like a little more of a...
yeah, I can see that.
She gets a little more fired up. I haven't really seen that out of Heather yet, and I'm not saying that you have to be fired up to go and win, but...
But I think where Heather has the advantage is that... And maybe it's just because I don't know Haley as well, and she's not... Well, I guess Heather's not as active on social media either, but I know Heather's family a little bit better, and I know how seriously... Heather takes this game and how seriously she takes practice, and she's like constantly reaching out to people to get tips.
Yeah, that's true.
Trying
she's
to get better.
She's very much a student of the game.
Yeah, she's extremely driven and extremely practice oriented. So that's, I think, with that in mind, assuming that's not saying that Haley doesn't do the same thing. I just don't know if she does or not, but I think that's where Heather would get my vote.
Yeah. Hey, good job. I'm proud of you. look, I like having conversations like this. I think it's important for us to be talking about the women's field like this. Like, there's, you know, we have these conversations on the MPO side all the time. And yep. I think it's important to be able to forecast the future of the women's division. And right now, it's been really surprising to me because I think coming into this season, and even for the last couple seasons, we've been talking about some players like, you know, maybe like Rebecca Cox or Paige Hsu kind of being the ones to take the next step and be the next Paige Pierce, Katrina Allen. But that script has kind of flipped a little bit to where we've got like, it's more like Heather Young, Haley King. We haven't seen as many, you know, we're seeing more consistent performances out of them. Yeah. So it's a good time, I think, for women's disc golf. Sarah, any other observations, you know, from that side of the field before we move over to the MPO side?
Just a couple of quick ones. It was exciting to have the Sarah Hokum and Katrina Allen battle. We talk about the mini battles, and they were battling it out for third. They ended up tying. And then I was also looking down the leaderboard to see how our former world champion did, because we played these same courses in 2018,
right?
And unfortunately Paige Hsu was not able to have a similar experience as 2018 and averaged like 80 points less this past weekend than she did during the world championship. So not really sure what's going on there. Would have to talk to her to see where her head's at, but kind of sad to see that. I was hoping that
yeah,
she'd 40, do better and
40 over for the weekend.
Yeah.
Ouch.
She averaged 895 golf. She just had one really bad round, I believe round three. So that would have been Brewster.
Yeah, 845 rated at Brewster.
Yeah. So I'm hoping she can bounce back and we see some stronger finishes from her for the rest of the season.
Yeah, same here. All right. Well, hey, over on the MPO side, I would like to talk about Kevin Jones, Woods player. Does anyone ever think of Kevin Jones as a Woods player, Sarah? Do you think of Kevin Jones as a Woods player?
When I think of Kevin Jones, I think of
a dude that bombs, right?
Yes.
Exactly. But look at his two biggest wins, Idlewild, GMC. Now, granted, you need a little bit of bombing at both these places, right? Especially at Fox Run. But his best rounds this weekend were at Brewster Ridge. I think that maybe we have been taking Kevin Jones's Woods proficiency for granted. And I think he's been one of those players who's really evolved in his game to add a lot more power on the forehand side. He can use that just as much as the backhand. And that kind of technical skill really was on display. I mean, his from back nine or back like 13 holes in round two of Fox Run to like the front 11 on Brewster, it's like almost entirely blue on the scorecard between rounds two and three. He went eight straight birdies to start at Brewster Ridge. You know, a few of those had circle's edge putts, but I mean, that's an incredible performance at Brewster Ridge. I believe it tied the course record, 13 under par. And so just his technicality, I think it's maybe time to start putting him in that conversation a bit more. You know, we think, all right, you know, Kevin Jones is going to go play well at USDGC because he's broke out there and can do placement shots and obviously has distance. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him go play well at Maple Hill this weekend, another wooded course. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see just the continued evolution of his game. You know, the real interesting thing I took from it too was like he won this tournament and, you know, and granted, post-round interviews like 30 seconds after the final putt are a difficult judge of what's really going through a player's mind. But man, it just seemed like business as usual. I don't know if you happen to see his interview, but he was just like, yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
Happy to have won. Like, it was just very, like,
yeah,
very,
I did it,
very business-like. So, you know, I think that's a good thing for him. But gosh, these ratings, 1041, 1081, 1091, 1058 over the course of four rounds is pretty fantastic. He earned every bit of this victory. And I think to see this victory come with all the top dogs in the field, I think that was maybe one of the, like, the one knock you could have had on Kevin Jones beforehand, was that, you know, his win at Idlewild maybe didn't come with a full field. And by full field, I mean Paul McBeth not being there. You know, when you're beating Paul McBeth by four, Ricky Wysocki by seven, James Conrad and Eagle McMahon by eight, and Calvin Heimberg by nine, you're doing something right. So hats off, Kevin Jones. Nicely done. And let's see more of it. Speaking of Eagle McMahon, top five showing, highest career performance at the GMC after the last couple years coming in like 39th. I'm really excited about that because I think this just, again, continues the idea that Eagle is still growing as a player. And for someone as young as he is to be as good as he is and still have more to add on to that is I think very exciting as a fan. It was really interesting to see, like, they were talking about it on the broadcast. He would just, like, he was just taking totally unconventional shots, throwing like rollers when he didn't necessarily need to, taking forehands when most other people were doing backhands. It was almost like he went into that tournament, thought about what he had done the other years, and just like wadded it up and threw it in the trash and did something entirely different.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. There were definitely a couple holes where everyone was just like, what? Like, I guess that worked in practice. I mean, obviously that was a successful shot in practice, but some of the shots were very uncommon.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I think, and I think it just goes to show how good he is that he can do those crazy shots and pull them off. It's just nuts. My third kind of point on the MPO side, because we could talk again, like with these tournaments, we could talk about them all day, but we don't have all day. I want to throw out a name that I want everyone to keep an eye on. And hopefully if you've been following these tournaments the last few weeks, you have been keeping an eye on this player because he's kind of ping ponged in and out of the top 10. I think he's hit on a little coverage at some tournaments, but Ezra Adderhold, this dude needs to start getting some recognition. Now, granted, he only came in 17th at the GMC. He was up in the top 10 after round two or three, I think. He's only been a pro since 2019. His rating has gone up in seven of the last eight updates. He qualified for USDGC this weekend.
Nice.
I think he's going to be one of these guys who If you kind of start following him now, you're going to start seeing, you know, the next, he's going to be one of these contenders like next year and the year after. He seems to have a really strong skill set, and there's a really, it's cool. He actually has a pretty good YouTube channel. If you go find him, just type in, Ezra Adderhold disc golf. I watched a whole video about how he tours in his Prius, and granted, this was from last year. I would imagine he's maybe still in his Prius, but like, he's got like an inverter that he's using to basically like turn his Prius into a kitchen, and he like cooks. Whoa. He uses like he cooks beans in an Instant Pot while he drives.
I need to watch this video.
Like, there's just some really good ingenuity there. So, awesome. Yeah, keep an eye on Ezra Adderhold. I think he's gonna be someone we're talking about a lot more in the future. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a break. Speaking of someone we're going to be talking about more in the future, we are going to talk to her right now. It's Haley King. So we'll take a break. We'll chat with her, and then we come back. We'll talk MVP Open. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PGA Radio. All right, join us now for the first time on PGA Radio after her runner-up showing at the Green Mountain Championship. It is Haley King. Haley, thanks for taking some time. How are you doing after the weekend?
I'm doing good. We practiced a little bit today, but disc golf is feeling really good right now.
I would say so. You averaged 1,000.25 over four rounds at the GMC. What was your preparation and everything going into that event? What do you think really got you to such a strong finish?
I think being in Vermont on that course and in that like setting was just mentally so nice, and it prevented me from being very negative on myself. I also took a lot of preparation in practicing the courses. That helped a lot.
Well, this kind of gets into one of my later questions, but I'll just ask it now. You mentioned, you know, getting down on yourself. Maybe is that something you kind of battle? Like, I can see, you know, I was watching the tournament. I could see at times you'll step away. It looks like you're kind of talking to yourself. I don't know if you're giving yourself a pep talk or getting down on yourself. You know, where does the mental game go for you usually in tournament rounds?
Usually, it's pretty good. I'm just pretty tough on myself, so I expect myself to do a lot of things, and when I don't, I definitely put a little too much pressure on myself in that, and I don't know, it can affect me negatively sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't.
I would imagine the pressure was probably fairly high. You go into the final round with two shots over, you know, the five-time world champion and one of your teammates, Paige Pierce. Where was your head at Saturday night? What did you do to kind of get in the right mindset to go out there Sunday? And I mean, I know if I would have been in that position, I'd have been falling apart. So how do you go out there and keep it together?
Well, I just hang out with my friends and just try to keep a cool head and just try to keep it pretty calm the night before. You know, I usually go and see Brian Earhart and Lindsay Rodans for some physical therapy help after the round, and that usually helps me for the next day a lot.
Yeah, I heard you talking about you're having some pain during the tournament. Tell me about that, and how are you feeling, you know, as we go into MVP?
So my shoulder just still is causing me problems. I have a bunch of knots, and it affects my game a lot on sidearm. So when I throw a course that's sidearm friendly, my shoulder starts to get hurt pretty easily. But right now it's actually feeling really good. I've been taking a couple breaks and not chucking as many forehands as I usually do. So it's feeling good right now.
You know, you do seem to have a very well balanced game. And in the FPO field, not that that's rare, but it's not quite as common, I feel like, as in the MPO field for someone to be quite as balanced on the forehand and backhand as you. But you know, did that pain impact you at all during the final round on some of those forehand shots?
I think it on a couple shots, like on 16. I just, by the time I was that far through the round. My shoulder was just so inflamed that I wouldn't say that's the reason why I shanked it, but I was definitely in my head about that and I was thinking about that. But normally it doesn't affect my play that much.
Was that on the tee shot or the second shot?
Tee shots.
Okay. And then now I did want to ask you on 16 about the second shot. You know, what was kind of your approach there? Were you trying to go aggressive and just kind of missed, or kind of walk me back through that if you can?
I was definitely trying to get up within circle two. I just threw my shot way too low. It was on a good line. It would have flipped up to flat and then turned a little bit, but it was just way too low. I just threw it straight in the ground.
Okay. You know, how were you feeling up until that point? I mean, obviously physically, maybe you were a little tired. How were you doing mentally? You're trading two shot swings with Paige Pierce for a while. You know, you're tied up a lot of time in that round. Where was your mindset at, throughout the day?
Well, by the time starting off, it was pretty good. I knew that two strokes was nothing to have Paige by. She does that in her sleep. So I knew I was going to have to fight all day and just keep pushing. By the time we got to hole 16, when I threw it straight OB, I knew it was over and I knew I had to put up a good round.
And did you, I mean, obviously, you know, I know you want to go in and you want to take the win from that. But how much positivity and confidence are you taking away from that performance in general?
I'm definitely taking away a lot. Like I said, like you said, I shot 1,000 rated golf, averaged that, and that's the first for me. Those are my second and third 1,000 rated rounds. So definitely very positive coming out of that tournament.
This is your, what, second real year on tour? Do we want to say second, third? What do you consider it?
It would be my second year.
Okay. You know, what do you think has grown the most in your game just from being able to be out here and touring?
It's really hard to say. I think my game as a whole has just completely grown. I've learned so much more about the Frisbee that I didn't know before I started to tour. I'm learning a lot about like how the Frisbee actually flies, how it lands, and then being able to like score from there, and a lot of mental stuff in that as well.
How old are you now? Are you 19?
I'll be 19 in a month.
You'll be 19 in a month. Man. So I feel like, do you feel like you're kind of getting just a big head start right now? Like how long do you think you're really away from kind of hitting, you know, a more consistent ceiling to where maybe this kind of performance is going to be happening every week for you?
I think it's pretty soon. I mean, I've been playing pretty consistent now. I think it's going to be time soon.
How do you go into Maple Hill this weekend? Do you take higher expectations and put more pressure on yourself? Do you kind of let yourself relax? Like, how do you adjust after such a huge weekend?
Well, I'm just going to try to keep my head high and just know that last weekend was just like the beginning of it and that I can keep doing this. So there's no reason to put that much pressure on myself anymore. There's no reason to like, just say, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to keep a cool head going into it. Not putting as much pressure on myself.
You sound pretty calm, and most of the time on the course, I would say you look pretty calm. What gets you rattled? What gets you fired up?
foot faults. people being slow on the tee and just taking way more time than they really need and just dilly-dallying around.
All right. What about off the course? What gets you fired up off the course?
Nothing really. I'm a pretty calm person, I think.
Okay. Who are you? What's your travel setup right now? Like, who are you hitting the road with, and how's that been going, especially with all the coronavirus stuff?
I've been jumping around with a few people. Right now, I'm with Brian Earhart and after MVP, I'll be flying home and I'll be getting my own car.
Nice. Okay. So are you going to, are you doing the full, I saw on your schedule, you've got, so you got MVP, go home, and then you're doing Jonesboro and Women's Nationals, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you set any goals for the rest of the season coming up, or is it pretty much just play as well as you can?
Yeah, pretty much play as well as I can and just try to keep getting better.
Are you putting with a zone?
Their CT Challenger stamped with a zone.
Okay. I kind of had it. I figured it had to have been something like that. I was really going to be kind of excited if you were actually putting with a zone, because I can't think of anyone who actually puts with a zone.
No, I do not suggest it.
Hey, I thought maybe it was some kind of secret you had. I don't know. What are you listening to in those earbuds all day?
I listen to like a lot of Juice WRLD, Trippie Redd. I mean, I listen to like some country, but I listen to a lot of music. I have 2,000 songs and a bunch of different genres, so a lot of music.
What's your favorite? Like, if we're picking up a walk-up song today for the next tournament, what's it gonna be?
Probably something that Trippie or X made.
I have no idea who any of these musicians are, but I'll go check them out. I gotta get educated. That's good. Yeah. All right, I just a couple more questions before I let you go. I know it's late back there, and you got a tournament this weekend. But you know, I think I'm watching you play alongside Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen and Sarah Hokum, and you are holding your own in a very impressive way. And I'm just curious, like, did you kind of grow up watching all of them play? Like, what's it like for you being on a card like that in the final round of a big tournament?
I wouldn't say I necessarily like watched anyone play like on YouTube. I more so just watched disc golf to just, because I couldn't play. It wasn't like I was like watching disc golf for the disc golf, I guess. So, I mean, being on film is really cool because like that does not happen where I'm from. Nobody gets on film. So being able to do it for sports, for something that I love, means a lot for sure.
Do you have anyone who you'd consider like your disc golf idol, if you will, or mentor, someone that you have looked up to over time?
I'd say my friend Barrett White or Madison Walker.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. All right. I like to hit people with the lightning round when they come on the show for the first time. It's just give me the first answer that pops in your head to these questions. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. First one is favorite course on tour?
Brewster Ridge.
Okay. Most difficult course on tour?
Brewster Ridge.
All right, this is my favorite question because it sometimes gets people in trouble. Most overrated course on tour?
MVP.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
All right, well you're there right now, so you gotta spill. Why do you say that?
I don't know. I like it. I think there could be a lot more, but I think a lot of people have just talked it up to where I got here. It didn't blow my mind the way I was expecting it to, like, okay. At all.
Is that your first time there?
Second.
Second time, okay. But yeah, so it's like when you go into a movie and everyone says it's the best movie, and so the expectations are just super high?
Yeah, like, I think the course is great, don't get me wrong. But I think it's just a little overrated.
Okay, all right. Your favorite food on tour?
Chick-fil-A.
All right, there we go. If you were gonna play or watch, either way, play or watch a sport besides disc golf, what's it gonna be?
Soccer.
All right. Are you do you have a team?
Nope. No? I just like playing.
Just like to play it. All right, cool. There's some pretty good soccer players on tour, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get pickup games going?
No.
Too much, not too that much I know injury of. Risk. Yeah. All right. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
And yeah, I'd like to be invisible.
Okay. All right. Now, I know you're fairly young and haven't been doing this quite as long as other people I asked this question, but if you weren't a professional disc golfer, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
A scientist.
Okay. What?
Probably something with the environment.
Oh, nice. Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. If you could choose anyone to have dinner with, dead or alive, who would it be?
Lindsay Rodance.
Okay. You're trapped on a desert island. You can only watch one movie for the rest of your life. What is it?
Lion King.
Okay. The live action or the original?
Like, I don't know what one it is. It's the one that I grew up. It came out in like 2005. Like, it was animated.
Yeah. That's the original. Okay. I
Okay.
wasn't sure. They did like a live action or like CGI kind of remake in the last couple years. Okay, and then this is the last one, cats or dogs?
Cats.
All right, I like it. Well, Haley, hey, thank you. I know I'm sure we're probably going to be catching up a lot more. I feel like we're kind of at the beginning of seeing you do some pretty impressive things. So congrats on the finish last week, and good luck this weekend at Maple Hill.
Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. That was Haley King, and we'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio. Sarah, it is time for the Birdie Fuel Coffee hot rounds. And
Yay.
did we keep up our trend of very hot rounds on the FPO side? Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. It's just insane. All right, let's get started. So most of mine were from the Green Mountain Championship. The fifth hottest rated rounds were from Missy Gannon and Katrina Allen. They both shot 986 rated second rounds. Tied or Misty finished solo sixth, and Katrina Allen tied for third. Just dang, it's just crazy how hot these rounds are. The only one that was not from Green Mountain Championship was from Henna Blomroos, who played in the Nokia Open 2020. She shot a 996 her third round to take second to Evelina Solanin. So great that those two are still out there battling. Hopefully they'll be battling in the United States sometime in the near future. We will see.
Yeah.
Next was the first four-digit round of our hot rounds list today, and that was from Sarah Hokum shooting 1,005, her first round to finish in third place, tied with Katrina Allen. Next was Haley King shooting 1,009, her second place to finish in second place, and then Paige Pierce with the hottest round at 1,037. Jeez. Her
Yeah,
fourth
that was her
round.
final round, yeah.
Yep, to come back and to take the win.
That's
I
pretty
just
solid.
don't have words.
So both Paige Pierce and Haley King averaged over 1,000, I believe, for the tournament. And I don't know that that's ever happened on the FPO side. I probably should have tried to get confirmation on that. Do you think there have been two women to average over 1,000 for a four-round tournament?
I don't know. That would be a good question.
We'll have to send that to our folks at the PDGA Tech Lab and see if they can get back to us on it.
Yeah.
All right, over on the MPO side, we had quite a few from the GMC as well, but a couple random ones. Tim Barham with a 1075 rated third round ended up coming in a tie for ninth place. Nicely done, Tim. Garrett Dose, I'm gonna say that's how we say it. Dose, Dosey, Dose. This was at the 2020 Fairbanks Open in Fairbanks, Alaska. He won that tournament with a 1079 rated final. I believe this was maybe a final nine, but nicely done, Garrett. You get to be our Hot Rounds Player of the Week because you're up in Alaska. Why not, man? Let's get some Alaska in here. Up in the Pacific Northwest, it was Mr. Nate Sexton with a 1080 rated second round to win the Doug Newland Washington State Championships presented by A Advanced Septic and Construction. I think that's the first time we've ever had a septic company in the hot rounds. But nicely
I
done,
think
Nate
so.
Sexton. Hopefully it wasn't too smoky up there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. There's a lot going on out here. James Conrad, his 1089 rated first round helped him to a fourth place tie on the weekend. And Kevin Jones, we already mentioned, his 1091 rated third round helped him win the Green Mountain Championship. Our hot rounds are presented by Birdie Fuel Coffee. You can go to birdiefuelcoffee.com, use the code PDJRadio at checkout, get 10% off your order. Sarah, what are you drinking today from Birdie Fuel Coffee?
I believe I have so many bags of birdie fuel in my cabinet right now. I believe I had the hot round coffee though.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it hits the spot.
I've heard it should have our faces on it, even though it doesn't. It doesn't need it doesn't need our faces on it.
That's nah.
All right, yeah. So good hot rounds, and I'm betting we're gonna have some more this weekend at the MVP Open at Maple Hill. Formerly the Vibram Open, formerly the Maple Hill Open, formerly, I don't know, lots of names and incarnations over the years, but that's really the main thing that's changed at this tournament. Very much a known commodity, right? Like, we know what we're getting from this tournament. We're getting Christmas trees, we're getting lakes and ponds, we're getting one of the most beloved courses on tour this weekend. You know, this has been a staple on the Disc Golf Pro Tour since it started back in 2016. And I, you know, people always have this one circled on their calendar. I'm looking forward to watching it. You'll be able to watch it on the Disc Golf Network, Jomez Pro, and all the usual information. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure it's Gatekeeper and GK Pro this week on the other cards. So, Sarah, I don't know. Is there, to me, I feel bad. I don't want to, like, gloss over it. But at the same time, it's like, we kind of know what we're getting from this tournament, right? Is there anything really major to point out before we get into making our picks?
I don't think so. I mean, very in spots, some elevation change. It could be. I was noticing in Vermont there are a lot of people wearing pants and long sleeves.
It is so, getting chilled out there.
Yeah, it's getting chilly up there. So there was also some rain before and a little bit during the rounds in Vermont as well. So there might be some weather and some coolness for players to contend with that they're not used to. But yeah, I mean, this is a pretty well-known event.
Yeah.
I feel like we could go the picks. That's what I'm excited for.
All right, well, let's why don't you run them down from last week? I don't even remember them. I'm so wrapped up in Tour de France picks against my wife right now.
Who's which winning?
I'm getting destroyed this year. She's smoking me so far. It's pretty sad. But we've got like 2 weeks of tour left, thankfully, unless COVID shuts it down. It hasn't yet. So how am I doing in our picks? Hopefully better than I'm doing in the Tour de France picks.
You will be happy to know that you still have three points on me.
All right.
So you got 2 points for picking Paige Pierce to win, 0 for Ricky. You picked Paige Hsu for top five and Simon for top five. They both got you 0 points. I got 0 for Katrina and Chris Dickerson. Chris Dickerson had a rough go of it his first round at Fox Run on hole 18. Oh, I felt so bad for him.
Oh, I missed it.
It was very uncharacteristic. He threw out of bounds. I think so. He took the
did see it. It was
He took the aggressive right side where you basically throw over the out of bounds the entire time, and it didn't make it back in. And then he tried it again, and then I think he went out of bounds left. I believe he ended up taking an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, it was rough. I do recall seeing that. It was
uncharacteristic.
It was very uncharacteristic of him. And then just the last shot, he really just rushed.
Yeah, definitely. It was weird. Anyway, so I picked the Katrina and Dickerson for winners. I got 0 for them, but I did get 1 point each for Sarah Hokum and Paul McBeth finishing top five.
All right.
And then our listener pick, was Andrew Lockridge. Yeah, he did. He got 2 points for Paige Pierce, 0 for Ricky Wysocki, 1 for Haley King, top five, and 0 for Heimberg. He was close. I think Heimberg finished sixth.
Sixth, yep.
It was very close. So that puts you at 26 points, and then me and Andrew Lockridge, I mean the listeners, at 23.
Andrew's back with his picks this week. Should we give nice. Andrew's picks first?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, Andrew's going to take Paul McBeth for the win and Ricky Wysocki for top five. And he's going to take Paige Pierce for the win and Katrina Allen for top five. And I do want to read a note that he put in here. He said, "Sorry for the chalk picks, but I'm too competitive to do anything else as it comes down to the wire. Got to give the listeners the best chance for the win." So listeners,
wait, so you said Andrew Pierce Lockridge and McBeth to win. Nice.
And Katrina and Ricky to top five.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
So hey, chalk picks from Andrew Lockridge, can't knock it.
Hey, we do it.
first this week. Is it you?
Do this week.
Oh, it's me this week. Okay,
yes.
Good. I like that. All right, well, I don't know how I feel about chalk picks this week, because our main chalk pick, Mr. Paul Macbeth, hasn't looked quite Paul Macbethy the last couple weeks. I mean, I say that and he comes in second place, so I don't mean it like that. It has been a while since he's gotten a W, and I don't know. I think I'm feeling. What am I feeling? I don't know what I'm feeling this week. This is a hard one. Like, MVP is a tough one to forecast. We've seen Conrad win it. We've seen Eagle come close. We've seen Paul win it several times. But I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring. I'm looking at the name and I'm feeling Calvin Heimberg for the win. I don't know why. I can't say why. I think it's the glasses. It's the glasses swag. But I'm gonna go Calvin Heimberg for the win.
All right.
And on the FPO side, I like what I've seen out of Sarah Hokum lately, and I think this course, there's a little more equalizing here than there is at the GMC in terms of the, you know, Fox Run maybe causing her some headaches. So I'm going to say Sarah Hokum to win.
I like that. Yeah, there's a lot of technical wood shots, which she is a surgeon.
Very proficient at. Yes.
Yes, yes. Man. Well, I'd love to go Haley King, but I don't believe she has a whole lot of experience on this course.
No, this is only her second time there.
Yeah, so Paige won here last year by quite a big margin over Kristen Tatar and Sarah Hokum and Katrina. Man. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go Paige.
Okay.
And then for men, oh man. I really keep trying to give Dickerson a chance here. I've picked him so many times.
I've lost a little confidence the last couple
tournaments.
I
want it so bad for him. But Wysocki's also looking really good.
They all look good. They're all great.
I know.
Right? Like James Conrad, great. Could have taken him too. Like, there's just too many good players.
I'm going
players.
Wysocki. I have a feeling.
All right. Well, then I'm going to take Paul Macbeth top five. And he'll probably win because that's what he does. Yeah. And then, I'll take Katrina top five.
Okay. And then, who have we got left here? Do I feel like Kevin Jones? He's got it in him. What about Eagle? How's Eagle done here in the past?
I was gonna pick Eagle. Before
now?
I picked Macbeth, I almost picked Eagle to win it.
Interesting.
I'm Eagle fanboy for life. So
yeah, but you're also a Kevin Jones fanboy for life.
I am. I'm fanboy of most of them.
Yeah. I cheer for everybody, too.
Yeah.
I cheer for good shots. Eagle played here. I don't think he played here last year, but he played in here in 2018. He took eighth.
But then he's, like, come very close to winning. I think it was in 17. He, like, was a shot away.
All right. That has talked me into it. Let's go Eagle for the men.
Okay.
And for the women, oh, man. Smaller field, a little bit smaller field, 20 women. I feel, Missy Gannon actually had a pretty good showing. Jessica Weiss actually made her way up the leaderboard and was almost getting into that battle for third place with Hogan and Katrina.
Yeah.
She was looking really good, and she's got a good experience on this course as well. I'm going to go Jessica Weiss. I feel like she's going to do well this weekend.
All right. I like it. I like it. We got a couple sidearm specialists in there. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. This is, as you know, people, it's the MVP Open at Maple Hill. It's Friday through Sunday. You can watch it all on the Disc Golf Network. It should be a fun one. It always is. It's a classic. So let's have some fun with it. I do have to say, though, Sarah, it's got some competition because football season starts this weekend.
What's football? Just kidding.
It's this game
that people throwing around the pigskin.
People run into each other and stuff. All right, before we go, hey, I just want to say real quick, Sarah, to anyone who's listening who's out here on the West Coast where everything is seemingly on fire, please be careful. There's a lot of fire and smoke and everything out there from basically California all the way up to Washington. So just be careful, people. And I know in the grand scheme of things, like, I even feel kind of silly bringing this up, because in the grand scheme of things that could be destroyed by fires, like, disc golf course is pretty small, but there are a couple really great courses that are kind of in the line of some fires right now. Brook Trails up in Willits, and even Milo MacIver is in a big evacuation area right now. Oh, man. So don't know the status of either of those courses, but just, you know, think some good vibes for the people who maintain those courses and put a lot of love and heart into them, because those are two fantastic spots. I'm sure there are other ones as well. A Timber Park is up by Milo MacIver as well, but I'm sure there are others. So you know, send some good cool weather vibes out there, and be safe, and thank you if you're a firefighter or first responder. Thank you. It's the West Coast hellscape time of year, unfortunately. So just be safe out there, people. Sarah, you got any shout outs for the week?
Are we going to do our run it or layup?
Oh, I forgot about run it or layup. I always forget.
And then save
this.
The shout outs. It's okay. Sorry. I get excited about this segment now, so I've
no, that's fine. Kind of I do too. I was thinking my brain's kind of been in, you know, fire mode the last couple days, so
understandable.
Let's start it. Let's do it.
All right. So this is one that I came up with. Haley King has the deadliest forehand backhand combo in the FPO division. I am running that, obviously.
Yeah, I think I got to run that too. Like, it's close with Katrina Allen, because she has a very good forehand, but I feel like she doesn't really deploy it off the tee. On the approach. Paige Pierce uses the forehand off the tee, but I don't think she's quite as deadly with it. So yeah, I feel like I run that as well.
Also, I feel like the difference with those two is that they don't use it as a distance shot. Like, Haley will
use it. Yeah, it's just full power.
Full power distance off the tee, and those other two don't do that, I feel like.
Well, Paige does it, just not that often.
Yeah.
Much more than Katrina, but yeah, I agree. Sure. Yeah, I'd run that. She's a very deadly forehand backhand combo. That was too easy.
I know. And we just talked. I was trying not to say that during when we were talking about GMC. Because
no, it's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Then do you want to do the second one?
Yeah, this is a good one. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this comes from Rebecca Kersey, who is a female disc golfer in the St. Louis area. Shout out if you're listening. So she submitted this. The person sitting in the middle airplane seat gets both armrests. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so I need some clarification here. Does that mean, like, they get priority to it? Are you trying to share a little bit? Because I think sometimes you can, like, get a little nudge. Or is this, like, the person gets the armrest only?
What do you mean, gets the armrest only?
Like, they're the only one that can touch the armrest. Oh. Like, the person.
Well, I don't want to touch a stranger.
I'm
gross.
Just saying, like, you could go, like, front part of the armrest, one person's elbow, and back
way
part of the other. You're not touching it.
Way too risky of touching.
Way too risky. All right, fine.
don't let me.
Person in the middle. I think just as a courteous human, I will run this and say, yes, they do get both armrests because they're stuck in the middle seat. However, if it's a long flight and I'm in the window and they fall asleep and I have to go to the bathroom and they don't wake up, I'm getting one of them armrests.
Well, that's me, because I only sit on the window seat.
See, I go aisle for that reason.
Yeah, I like having the option to, like, lay my head on the window. But
I like
always
to be able to stick my feet in the aisle just in case, like when the cart's not coming by.
Yeah,
you know, I can.
But
stick
I fall
my leg
asleep.
Down.
But I'm a sleeper. Like I fall asleep sometimes before the plane even takes off.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be. I don't want, like, my head to fall into the aisle or my elbow to fall. I don't want a body part to fall into the aisle and me to get hit by anybody. Yeah, so that's why fair. I always opt for the window seat. I would say, I guess I'll run it. I wouldn't argue if someone took the... I guess I don't have personal experience with this because I never sit in the middle seat unless you're on a 16-hour flight to New Zealand and you get stuck in the middle seat. That did happen to me. But I'm not sure I expected to get the armrests. It wasn't like an expectation. It was like, if it happens, it happens. And that's awesome. If not, whatever. I'll deal.
Yeah, I think it's a nice bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's, plane etiquette is so tricky, right?
Yes, like, I agree.
You're going to be stuck in these small spaces with people for a long time. Yeah. Anyway. All right, well, that was a good one. If you've got any runner layups, send it to us at radio@pdga.com. Now we can do the shout-out, Sarah. I'm sorry for jumping the gun. I've done that several times on the show now. I need to, like, put a big sticky note on my monitor that says, wait.
To your defense, I have not had any shout-outs or any good shout-outs in the past couple weeks, but this time I do.
You got a couple now. Yeah.
I do, yes. Okay, my first shout-out goes to Courtney Pixie Cannon. She posted yesterday, I believe, that she's been playing disc golf for about 7 to 8 years and has never gotten an ace until yesterday.
Same.
And she ended up getting 2 in one day.
That's awesome.
Like, how weird is that?
When it rains, it pours.
Yes. So she was super psyched about that, and I just wanted to give a shout out. And I believe one of them was like during a league or something, because I saw a pile of money sitting on a disc. I didn't read the caption fully, but congratulations. It's always exciting to get an ace, especially if it's your first ace, and 2 in one day is just a cherry on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good deal. Good deal. Yeah. I need to go get 2 aces in one day. That'd be great.
Right? Me too.
I'd be stoked about that.
And then the second one is kind of a plug for a little project that Sean and I are working on. I believe I talked about this a couple weeks ago.
I don't think you ever... No, I think you kind of like...
I like teased it, but didn't...
at it, but you didn't... Okay. You didn't... you didn't reveal.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting for us, and I hope it's exciting for other people, maybe. But we... So ever since I met Sean in 2014 through the disc golf community, he's been talking about putting together a disc golf YouTube channel. And if you don't know my husband, he's a former full-time touring pro, used to battle with like Ken Climo and Barry Schultz and all the greats of the past.
Yeah.
Well, Barry Schultz still is. and he claims that he would not even be 1,000 rated right now, but I beg to differ. But he works for the PDGA, so he's taken more of an administrative role over the past several years, but he's still ridiculous at disc golf, and life is extremely busy for us right now with my nutrition business and both of us working full-time and all the other things. So we naturally felt that this was a great time to start another side project. So we launched Sinclair Disc Golf on YouTube a couple days ago, and we uploaded our first video. And the concept for most of the videos will be simply just us going and playing a disc golf course. We've got a cool little gimbal for our phone to keep it stabilized and looking more professional. And then
hold on, time out. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm watching this right now, and I have thoughts about Sean's wardrobe choice. Sean is wearing a tool shirt. He's wearing a tool shirt.
I bought that for him. He decided. Oh, he loves tool. Oh, yes.
Did not.
Yes.
He didn't strike me as a tool fan at all.
No, it's kind of an outlier as far as his music choices go, but yeah, he's obsessed with them.
Oh my gosh. All right, you're playing 126-foot hole. If you don't ace this, I'm unsubscribing from the channel.
Well, so that's why we posted. We've got this really... Oh my gosh.
No, I'm just kidding.
We've got this really cool course just, 5 minutes down the road. It got put in a couple of years ago. It's called Ethan Page Course in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and it's super short. I think the longest hole is like 240. And so we just took 2 discs out and tried out the gimbal, and we're doing commentary. We do like a little bit of an intro, and then we film each other and do some commentary and some heckling. And then because he's so much better at disc golf than I am, even though I play professionally and he doesn't play competitively anymore, one of our shticks in the beginning is what we're calling a power up. So it's more or less a handicap.
Like a handicap, yeah.
So we kind of like haggle about what my handicap should be or my power up should be at the beginning of each video. And I won't spoil it for you, but he's really good. No,
I'm not gonna lie. Really, it's kind of it's kind of disgusting watching Sean throw frisbee because we've talked about this before.
He just looks so lazy.
He doesn't even look like he's trying.
No,
he just makes it look so ridiculously easy.
Yeah,
and it honestly makes me jealous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but yeah, I think the draw is that he's used to be one of the best players in the world. His farthest recorded throw was over 740 feet. Like, he's legit, guys. And I feel greedy that I've just, like, got him here and not sharing him with the world as far as his skill and his knowledge goes, because he is the reason that my rating went up like 60 points and my distance went up 60 or 70 feet or more. And so yeah, we'll do some of these videos. We've got two more courses in the bag that he's working on editing, and then one of which is our home course. And then I think he also wants to do some like tutorial type videos.
Oh, he just hit a tree.
He's terrible.
Awful.
So yeah, it's fun for us, and we hope that it adds a little bit of disc golf media out there. There's no other couple that I know of that's doing this on a regular basis. And so I hope people subscribe, but it's Sinclair Disc Golf, and the logo is of our three dogs.
I love it.
So you'll be able to see it.
I'm springing this on you, Sarah. I think we need to get the listeners to subscribe, and then when you hit like 1,000 subscribers, we do a giveaway on the show.
I think that would be awesome.
Okay.
We have a long way to go. I think we're at like 60.
We're at 60.
Subscribers?
Yeah.
Something like
59
that.
59 or 60. I just subscribed finally. Sorry. Woo-hoo. It took a day. So yeah, hey, how about this, people? Get Sarah's subscribers up to 1,000. We'll do a giveaway.
Yeah, thank you.
And by we, I mean she will. Sarah.
Yeah, we've got plenty of discs.
I have a lot too. I'll throw some.
Sweet.
But
yeah,
it's cool. It's
share
called
with
Sinclair
your friends.
Disc Golf, and you can watch Sean and Sarah go and tear it up, and it's good stuff. Do you guys have plans? Are you gonna get Sean on like some like, are you guys gonna go play some legit like longer courses and stuff?
Yeah.
Too?
We recorded another local course, and then like I said, our home course, which does have, I think the longest hole's like 750. And then we're actually traveling in a couple weeks to Georgia, so we're going to pick a course to play on the way back. But yeah, the goal is to just get as many courses filmed as possible.
See, this is a fun like short course though. Like, our short course is boring compared to this. Like, there's like some legit shots here.
For sure. And it's funny because a few months ago we played this course and we just did one disc. And it was just aces or die. So it was like,
nice,
if you don't ace, then you just pick up your... I think it was like right when quarantine started, so we didn't want to touch the baskets.
Yep,
we were super
careful
about
that.
Yeah, so it was just like, if you don't ace, then just pick your disc up and we're going to walk away. And he ended up acing three holes in a row. So it was like, of course you did it then, but you can't do it when it actually matters on camera and we're trying to get subscribers. But I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I think it's going to be fun. It also... I think I was getting a little bit burned out with just like practicing, and I wasn't getting out to very many courses. And I feel like for me, this is going to be good competitive practice. So it's, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like putting me in pressure situations because I want to beat him, and I want, you know, the footage to look good. So I'm trying to make my putts, and I'm trying to,
there we go,
get my drives off the tee and things like that. So I think it's good for both of us.
All right. Well, good. Again, it's Sinclair Disc Golf. You can go find it on YouTube and give it the old like and subscribe. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, hey, that is going to do it for the show this week. We've got MVP Open this weekend. Sarah, enjoy that. Everybody out there, you know, be safe and sane and all that good stuff. And we'll be back next week. So, for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PGA Radio. Be good to each other.